I'll be talking about anarchism tonight. I'm going to analyze it, some of the problems and some of the benefits. But first I got to get my shit together. So in between we'll hear a little bit from Noam Chomsky.
What's with YouTube tonight?
Man, fuck YouTube. I guess his point is that anarchism is participatory. Everyone has a say. And that what we normally consider authority has a burden of proof to prove that it's necessary. And he brings up the thing, like, say his child is going to run out into the street. He grabs him by the arm and pulls him back. That is a legitimate form of authoritarian behavior. Whereas, you know, George Bush running the country is an illegitimate form of authoritarianism. So I was going to talk a little bit about the structure of anarchism. It usually means no rulers. Some people think it means no government. But actually, a lot of the anarchist groups around here, and Free Radio is itself an anarchistic formation. They make decisions in a collective or a committee. It's a consensus-based. They use the they use twinkles and blocks and stand-asides. It's not just a simple vote, but I do believe that the anarchists in Spain did have a simple vote in their committees. Once again, it is committee-based, so it is committee form of government. Our democracy uses committees to produce laws generally, and that's what the anarchists do as well. They create rules. And so Free Radio has a set of rules. I'm not sure if it's available to the public, but like we had a meeting last Sunday, and I proposed a rule or changing the rules. When I first came on the station, they wanted me to fill out an application to be on the show. And to me, that's like going to the government and, you know, asking for a permit, you know. And we're not doing that. We're broadcasting illegally. We don't ask the government for a permit, just like the anarchist parade doesn't ask the city government for a permit. So I thought it was kind of hypocritical that I should have to fill out an application. And I didn't. And I just got on, seized the air and got on. And Uncle Dennis, you know, was pounding on the door. But anyway, I got to say, Uncle Dennis, in the meeting last night, he covered for a DJ for their dues, a DJ that's quitting, just out of the kindness of his heart. And another thing I propose, it was my first experience with an anarchistic consensus meeting a few months back, that the we have a discount. If you go to the meetings, if you want to become a member of Free Radio, you can do it through someone you know now. You don't actually have to fill out the application anymore. That passed fine. But when the meeting I was talking about earlier, I noticed that the low income and disabled can join Free Radio for $15. But there's no discount when they go to the meetings. We get one third off when we go to the meetings. So I propose that we should... you know, same thing should apply for them. They should be able to get a, you know, $5 off if they go to the meetings. There were some stand-asides. I was a little surprised. And they also modify your proposal. You put out a proposal, everybody has a say in it, and it gets modified, so then it becomes something more acceptable to everybody. So that's a nice thing about the consensus style. It does produce, it's great for rules, because, I mean, if everybody has to follow the rules, it should be something more acceptable to everyone. So I was a little surprised. I thought they were attacking my idea in the first place. I got a little upset. I didn't really, you know, didn't have a good feeling after that. But this last one went much better. And I think consensus is okay for certain things. There are drawbacks to consensus. It doesn't scale. I mean, our meeting is just, you know, less than 10 generally. You get to 100 and you're going to, you know, have a real problem. I mean, they have this thing called blocks. You know, a minority, one or two people can block what everyone else wants to do. And at that point, in larger numbers, I think just a straight up and down vote would be a better solution. And that also, you know, since anarchism is also political and sometimes they do some illegal direct action and stuff, so that also opens you up to infiltrator. If infiltrators get in, you know, one or two of them can stop anything from happening. So that is one of the disadvantages to a consensus type of government. There's also I was talking to an anarchist on the street today, and I asked him, you know, have you been, you know, in the anarchist community here very long? He says, no, he's been here 6 years, but he said himself that the anarchists are kind of cliquey, you know, they're kind of standoffish. I refer to them kind of like the Amish mafia, because, you know, very friendly people, always, generally, every anarchist I've talked to, they're a very nice person, but they are standoffish, you know, when it comes to political action, you know, it's like, there's, you know, how do you get together and you do anything? There, you know, you're never going to get a mass movement this way. That's a huge disadvantage to the cliquiness. And that's how social change happens generally. It has to be some kind of a mass movement. Their cliquishness. And I thought it was because, well, maybe they're creating crime, you know, they're doing direct action. They're worried about being infiltrated by police and things like that. But I think it goes deeper than that. I think it goes to the committee form of government itself. If you're in a committee and if a minority can block you, I mean, you just don't want to let in people that are going to be contrary and cause those blocks. I mean, there's a natural tendency to not let them in to the collective. So that's partly where the standoffishness comes. The nice, you know, the friendliness is also another factor. If you're kind of rude to everyone all the time, you put forth the proposal, you know, people are going to, you know, block it just because they don't like you as a person. So that's one of the good things about anarchism. It kind of makes people be nicer to everyone in order to get their proposals through. Another disadvantage to the consensus is that the decisions are very slow in coming about, and they may never come about if the blocks are there. So anarchism isn't appropriate structure for warfare. And because you just can't have a meeting in the middle of a battle. I mean, you need a hierarchical command structure in order to have that quick unified command. And that's why, if you look around the world, essentially nowhere, no country is anarchistic, not even a city as far as I'm concerned. I saw an anarchist put up a link that said there were thousands of anarchist communities, and when I clicked on it, what it turned out is they were counting tribal societies, you know, that were not exposed to civilization yet. It is an anarchistic structure, but the minute they come up against a hierarchy, they get crushed, you know, and every time anarchism has tried to fight against hierarchies, they get crushed in the war, and generally because warfare requires a hierarchical system. Hierarchical systems developed as soon as agriculture developed. It's a way to mobilize mass numbers of people, and, you know, I don't know why hierarchical stuff is unacceptable to anarchists. I haven't studied a lot of philosophy. I was actually... myself, for decades, I've been kind of thinking about trying to get a hierarchical, non-hierarchical military, because I don't like taking orders, and I do believe you have to, in order to protect yourself from the oppressing society around you, you do need a military, you need some kind of defense unit, or you will get killed. Our governments are based on violence. That is a correct assessment that the anarchists have found. You may not see the violence all the time, but it's always waiting there as soon as you challenge the political structure. Say you want to sleep on public ground, the police will come out in full force and arrest you and take you off. We saw that this summer at peace camp, even though you were just sitting there sleeping. Another thing in consensus meetings, generally, you get some creativity because people, each person contributes, but you won't get that flash of genius that's one person can produce. You'll tend to get decisions that are the lowest common denominator, maybe not the best creative decision. In the collective, there's a pressure to conform to the rest of the collective. Older people have told me that the anarchists are somewhat ageist. They don't, you know, they don't let older people in. It's mostly students or youngers. And part of that is, once again, in order to make decisions, you need to be kind of similar. If it's a unanimous decision, your culture needs to be similar, and that culture is generally a product of your age. I mean, what was happening when you grew up and that kind of thing. And yeah, because a minority controls the meeting, you get the phenomenon of the tail wagging the dog. Those are the negatives. And on the positive side, you get more stable rules because change is harder. That's essentially a consensus is like in our government, we have for amending the Constitution requires a supermajority. I think it's three quarters of the state. Something difficult to achieve. That way, our Constitution will stay more stable. It doesn't change, you know, just in a simple majority. Consensus is pretty much like a super duper majority. I think people are happier in anarchistic situations because you do have a say. You do have some control over your destiny. The Amish, I saw a TV show once that came to the conclusion that the Amish are the most happiest people in America for a variety of reasons. One of them, they have control over their destiny. They have a community around them. That's another thing with the anarchists. They do tend to form long-term communities. I think someone mentioned to me that they got their house. It was kind of like their tribe. It's an interesting term. All right, come back to the rules. Free radio is an anarchistic structure. A lot of the original members, very few of them are left, and yet the structure continues on. This is a stable a thing. Even though we lose money every... I mean, we're all paying to be here even. But it's a stable thing. When you rules basically create institutions. Free radio is an institution. Sub Rosa, similar. The free school. I think the bike church is also anarchistic. It's a way of creating... institutions or entities that can last. And, you know, they can be proud of that. We're kind of lucky in Santa Cruz that we have those things. Software is also similar to that. Computer programming is really just a bunch of rules, and it kind of creates something out of nothing that can last and be useful to society. All right, let's look at some of the history of anarchism. Probably the high tide of anarchism was the Spanish Revolution, where they took over a lot of the industries during the war. It was a fascist coup against the Spanish government and by military and the rich, and it's probably what's coming here. At that point, the democratic government had to turn to the anarchists and the communists to defend them. So the anarchists got more power over the factories and shops. And how they did? They did very well, better than the previous owners in agriculture, because they modernized and collectivized it. Really good in agriculture. They did really good in the shops and the cafes and the shows. I think the dog track did very well. The opera did very well. Where they failed, though, was in the textile manufacturing, traditional capitalism. They did not do so well. Their productivity went down. All right, and then now we get back to the military effect. I mean, it was a war going on. There was money to be grabbed from the central government. The Catalonia, the anarchist stronghold, could have got that money. They did not get the money. It was an error. They could have used that for arms. They did not have enough arms. Another error, they should have attacked Morocco or caused uprisings in Morocco. That was the staging area for the fascists. That's where their weapons were being shipped into Spain. It was brought up, but for some reason, it was never done. Neither of those things were done. And I got to think that that's a failure because of the lack of hierarchy. A good general would have done those things. It didn't happen. Now, I personally like a lot of the concepts of anarchism. I studied Thomas Paine, and I went back to, I think he was influenced by the English Civil War back in the mid-1600s. And I think William Goodwin, one of the first anarchist writers, philosophers, was influenced by Thomas Paine. It was only like a decade later that he wrote his book. And Tom Paine, he's a hero of the propertarians, what we would normally call libertarians. Actually, libertarian is an anarchist term. Social libertarian is what anarchism is. One form of it, but the what we think of as libertarians is more of a, you know, they're more of a propertarian. They believe in property, they believe in police and the military, but they want the government smaller in all other ways. They see Thomas Paine as their hero because he said that government is a necessary evil at best. This was just rhetoric. Those propertarians probably never read anything else of Thomas Paine. He also felt that everyone was entitled to some land, and if they didn't get land, they should be compensated monetarily. This is our birthright. He feels that all land was stolen. It's Agrarian Justice is the book he wrote on that. And he also, it was his birthday recently, by the way, January 29th, He also felt that he thought up Social Security, public schooling, a lot of things that the proprietarians probably wouldn't like. Now, once again, we get back to that no government, because anarchy means no rulers, but it still is a form of government. I think people get too caught up in that, just as in the anti-hierarchical stuff. I think the more important concepts are direct democracy and that property is theft, Proudhon's a book on that. I do. That's a free the land philosophy here, that property, the private ownership of property or the buying and selling of it is how we're oppressed. The banks loan money on it, drive the price up, and we end up paying a fortune just to occupy land. It's ridiculous. And then if you don't have that fortune, you're a criminal. There is nowhere in California you can sleep legally if you don't rent or pay for it somehow. Now, to paraphrase an old saying, that politics are war by other means. If non-hierarchical structure is a weakness in war, it is also a weakness in politics. You need a hierarchy to beat a hierarchy. So anarchists have essentially been losers throughout history. They have never taken over anything. Communism started around the same time, and communism took over half the world. But I wouldn't want to live under a communist government. I'd much rather live under an anarchist government. But we're never going to get there until anarchism grows up and accepts some hierarchy when in warfare or in opposing others in politics. We've seen that in this town. The anarchists have not been successful against the city government. The city government is moving more and more towards fascism. The downtown merchants are pushing on the police and the city council to harass the musicians and the homeless and the young students. Anybody who isn't putting money into the merchants' hands is undesirable downtown. A local anarchist directly confronted the police physically, and they put him in the hospital, stuck him with charges, and the fascism continues. The May Day riot, I'm going to call it a raid. The May Day raid, I believe it was anarchistic inspired. I believe they had a communique. It came out before the so-called riot or raid. It was very well executed. They diverted police by calling in and saying they were shooting elsewhere. They used the dance party as a cover for their operations. They were all fully masked. They hit quickly, broke a lot of windows, and disappeared. None of them have been arrested. The only people that were arrested were homeless, probably alcohol, someone high on alcohol that just got caught up in the moment. As I said, the police haven't found them. Very well executed. But politically, what happened? The merchants freaked out, called a special meeting that was not open to the public, and pushed for $1 million more in police officers. And with their pensions, that's going to be $1 million more every year for the rest, of their lives. The breaking the windows downtown actually caused a reaction that was the opposite. And I've been reading about Modesto. They've been having more riots there, and they have more police repression. Using violence as a technique generally creates counter-violence, and it doesn't really work. Neither of the anarchist approaches have actually fought off the fascism in this town. Another approach has to be taken. And that's where I get into, where did anarchism come from? I mean, it's been around a while. The 30s were the high tide, but it became very popular over the last few decades. I believe that's from the punk music, where it's probably started as more of a nihilistic type of thing. Now people were really following it and really believe in it. But now I'm wondering, since anarchism seems to be ineffective politically, I'm wondering if the current popularity of anarchism may have been planned by its opposite, fascism. This may be a plot to anarchize rebellious youth. The reason I believe this is look what happens. If they use direct action, they're in jail and therefore less effective. The cliquish standoffishness stops any kind of a mass movement from occurring. their slow decision making hurts them when they're up against an opponent that's moving quickly. And they don't really believe in democracy, although I do believe that democracy is actually anarchism. Direct democracy, representative democracy is not. The committees could probably be, but definitely the direct democracy. That would be like ballot initiatives and things of that nature. Generally, the anarchists do not like to participate in the democratic process. And because of that, a huge countervailing force against corporatism and fascism is removed. Now the corporates can take more power. And we see that happening in America over the last few decades. They are becoming more and more fascist. The same thing locally in this town. It is becoming more and more fascist over the last couple decades. So I have the theory that perhaps anarchism, the current form of anarchism, is a plot by the Fourth Reich to anarchize rebellious youth. I have no proof of this. I just thought of it a few days ago. But it makes a lot of political sense, and I'm a paranoid by nature. What can be done about this? Well, the anarchists are doing a great job right now in their communities and their institutions that they create. I mean, if that's all they want, then fine. But there's also a lot of rhetoric in anarchism. They do talk about the class war. They do talk about fighting against repression and oppression. But in their structure, they are going to be ineffective. They're going to have to adopt hierarchy when they face the enemy. And they should start pushing against the democratic process more. I remember seeing on TV once that People's Temple would put like 400 of their followers in the streets of San Francisco and change elections. They were power brokers. That's only 400 people. But they were disciplined and ideologically motivated. Anarchists are ideologically motivated, maybe not so disciplined, but even with their small numbers, they could be extremely effective in local and national politics. But they're going to have to change their tactics and their strategy. For instance, I believe that it is within the anarchist power to take over a city. If enough anarchists came to Santa Cruz, registered to vote, they don't necessarily have to live in a house. They could squat. We get a few, you know, a few tens of thousands here. We take over this town. We start to pass laws that degentrify Santa Cruz. We start making it more expensive for the wealthy to live here. Taxation, whatever it takes. I'm sure the anarchists will come up with something in their committees. It's very possible. It's well within the realm of possibility. And then you would have a true anarchistic city. That could be an example for everywhere else. It shows what's possible.
It's up to the people to take back that which U.S. corporate interests and government regulators monopolize. Stop for-profit brainwashing. Build revolt by networking nationally and internationally. It's up to you, folks. We need a core group and many more to broadcast and program Free Radio Santa Cruz. Keep listening, and we'll give you a phone number near you to call soon.
Aquí Radio Rebelde, órgano oficial del Movimiento 26 de Julio. Aquí Radio Rebelde, transmitiendo desde un punto de la Sierra Maestra en el territorio libre de Cuba.
When you were young and you wanted to set the world on fire. anarchist.
We all got to work together, and that's a call to the drum circle, too. We all got to get together as a community because they're attempting to divide us and conquer us.
In some places, money itself, seen by anarchists as inherently evil, was abolished. Shopping was done with vouchers, issued by local committees.
What do these vouchers represent?
Well, they had to represent hours of production, the hours spent by a carpenter building a piece of furniture, or the hours spent by a peasant harvesting, working on the fields. Everything was calculated in hours of production. The peasants liked it because it meant making them equal to the industrial workers, making all work equal.
I see a lot of misunderstanding here about who the real enemy is.
You know how we think, organize the hood under our chain banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the street like watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common need. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed.
The average black man live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white man. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects, material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in they back than fire back. We're tired of that, corporations hiring blacks. Denying the fact, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my rap. It's documented, I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathe in it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's C-Lo for push-ups now. Many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.
Barter, not purchasing, kept Barcelona fed for the first weeks of the Civil War. In some places, money itself, seen by anarchists as inherently evil, was abolished.
the hole. Come out of the woodwork, come into the fold. Never suffice as a life secure. Now you're the bandit, stop on the hill. Open your windows, open your doors. Open your mind to a freedom of thought. Cast, this revolution won't be the last.
Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org for our streaming listeners worldwide. I've been talking a little bit about anarchism, how it's been ineffective politically. Another example is the Quakers. I talked about anarchists being kind of like Amish mafia. Another term might be Quakers with bricks. The Quakers have been doing consensus meetings for a few hundred years. Same issues. They tend not to get much done. I mean, they've been trying to fight against war, stop war for hundreds of years. We still got war everywhere you look. Also, the clickiness. Someone mentioned that about them. They tend to form little cliques. Same issues. I'm not sure we have a policy against hate speech here. I've been kind of teasing the Amish a little bit. If anyone wants to call in, that is the and debate on this, or if they're offended or anything, call in. I guess the Amish are automatically funny. I like to bring them up a lot. But then again, they don't probably may not even use phones. They may not even be listening. So how are they going to call in? So I guess I'm going to have to leave the door open here to the studio for in case any pigeons, messenger pigeons, messenger wait, carrier pigeons. I think that would probably be acceptable form of communication to the Amish. Phone lines are open here, 427-3772. I want to talk about anarchism, debate me on this. Any anarchists out there want to say I'm full of shit, and call in. Freakradio.org. Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM. Been talking a little bit about anarchism, why it isn't effective, how it could be effective. Again, you know, I still think it could be a plot. It came out of punk music, plot by the Fourth Reich. There's also a heavy skinhead Nazi influence in punk music. They could have been planning ahead for the time when we said, hey, where the fuck is all our money? We want our money back. And that's when they go overtly fascist, police state, big time. And then you wish that, damn, I should have stockpiled some weapons buried out in the woods somewhere. That was a problem in the Spanish Civil War, and I think that's what they're looking at. They're looking at history. They're going to try another Spanish Civil War. They think that maybe the anarchists are going to be pushovers. Then again, you know, I did a spoof show back a little while ago. How Christian, you know, the angels were anarchists because it was an alliteration, and that anarchists, a lot of them are atheists. So I thought it was kind of funny if they end up being the angels. But then as I looked at the Bible, more and more things started to come out that, hey, you know, maybe this is a prophecy of the end. We're in the end times, and Christ is coming back as an anarchist. All the nations of the world are going to be against him, and he's going to slay all the nations. It's going to be supper for the vultures. You know, it's an anarchist wet dream. All the nations go away. Maybe Moses couldn't enter the promised land, the land of milk and honey, because he was a vegan. You know, the devil was thrown out of heaven because he wanted to set his throne above God. He wanted to have a hierarchy of government with himself at the top. I mean, there's all these things that it just cracks me up. I have a quote here from, I guess it's Isaiah 65:21. About the New Jerusalem. It's going to be a do-it-yourself New Jerusalem. DIY, but probably more correctly, DIT, do-it-thyself. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hand.
Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore. Preach, preacher. For God shall wipe away, yes, sir, every tear from their eyes. Yes, sir. Get ready for the revolution. Come on. What you